also bless Steve this morning as he speaks. I pray that you would speak through him this morning and that we could be blessed and challenged. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. It's great to be here today. It's a beautiful day. It's a little rainy, but who don't need some rain in your life? Without rain, it'd be kind of tough to grow. Anyway, what I want to share today is some warnings. Some of the, I'm going to call it enemies of the Church of Christ, that wants to come in and wants to change our direction and take us in another way. The first area I want to look at is the spirit of religion. And over the years, I heard different comments about it, but I came across one recently that I could connect with. And it was, what is the meaning of it? And to me, it was very simple. Is Satan motivating you to do what is right? And you might say, why? How can Satan motivate you to do what is right? There's a passage in 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself as into an angel of light. Why would he do this? But when I started processing this, and when I started understanding how simple this is, I was like, why wouldn't he? I think this is one of the biggest enemies of the Church of Christ today, is Satan coming in and trying to motivate us to do what is right. All of us are living. If you're not living, you wouldn't be here. That means you're moving in life. But my thing is, what is directing us? Today here, what is directing our lives? What is guiding us? Something is guiding your life. You're going somewhere. But the question I have is, what is guiding you? You know, I do care what people say. What you speak is powerful. But there's something I care even greater than that. What is motivating your speech? What is motivating you to do what you're doing? Angel of light, I don't see this coming out in the world, that Satan coming out in the angel of light as much as in the body of Christ, where Satan comes in and tries to motivate you to do what is right. If you're motivated to do what is right by Satan, there's some things that there's going to come out of your life. Or what are some of the fruits that you will see if you're motivated by wrong? I'll give you a few. Do you ever hear someone else that was appeared to be living right, and they condemn someone else that don't quite do it like them? What I see happening is, if Satan can guide your life, and you might be all out for God, but if he can get you to start listening to him, what he's going to do is, if you just listen to him, and even if it's wrong, right, what he's going to do is, he's going to slowly try to change your course. For instance, condemnation. What are some other ones that I was thinking of? Fear, control. Do you ever hear the statement that if you do such and such, my dad never did this to me, but I heard of parents that have done this, that if you do X, Y, Z, you're not going to be a part of the family inheritance. To try to use control to get you to do what is right. Control like that is not from God. If control got to be used to get you to do what is right, I don't think the Spirit of God is motivating you. If you're using fear to keep people from doing what is wrong, I don't think that's God. I don't know if you're connecting with what I'm saying or not. But if Satan is coming to you as an angel of light and getting you to do what is right, and you start listening to that, he's going to veer you off course. Then you understand why there's people condemn other people for not doing everything right. They use fear. They use gossip. And these are all things that I have witnessed in the body of Christ. In Matthew 7:21, it says, Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonderful works? And what did Jesus do to them? He said, get out. I don't know you. The Spirit of God was not motivating their lives. It was the angel of darkness coming as truth and motivating them. John 1:4 says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they be of God. For many false prophets have gone out from the world. And I'm going to give you a little bit to test the spirits with. Do you ever hear some of these things I'm not free of? I recognize in my own life at times. But did you ever hear someone say, I don't read the Bible enough? I really should pray more. I really should do more things for God. Here's a test that I can give you. When Satan is speaking, he condemns. When God is speaking, he convicts and shows you how to get out of it. And I feel that is a very basic way to discern what is speaking to you. Because in my life, I have heard many voices over the years. And I'm more concerned who is saying it than anything else. That's my first step. Who is speaking to me? Is it God? See, I'm putting you in the same box as myself. I tend to think that I know exactly how God's going to move in some areas. And there are some areas that this, if God moves in this area, this just can't be God. I'm going to be honest, God blew those boxes in my life. That he moved, that I saw him move, that I was like, I would have never imagined this to be God. But to me is, when Satan speaks, and it can be good, there is a motive behind his message. And that is this, to get you just to listen and be obedient. And if he can do that, he's going to slowly turn you. That's why there's so much condemnation in the body of Christ. That's why there's so much control. There's so much slander. Because I'm telling you, this is just rampant. And it's hard to sometimes understand what is speaking. Now, here's another verse in Romans 8:1. It says, there's now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I'm telling you, this condemnation is a character of the Spirit. There's no condemnation. Total freedom is a character of the Spirit of God working in your life. To live in life and not feel any condemnation, zero, is incredible. I know what it's like. I know what it is to walk in that freedom. It is wonderful. You don't have to feel condemned that you go through life and you're just not quite doing it good enough. That is not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God does not condemn us. It does not push you down. But it shows you, if you're failing, it shows you what you're doing wrong. And it gives you a solution to the problem. Am I connecting? You're staring with me with nothing. And I want to know if I'm connecting. Do you understand? Is there any feedback? I want some feedback going on here. Do you understand what I'm saying in this area of condemnation? Because this to me is just huge. Do you understand what it is to feel totally free of condemnation? Does that connect with you? Do you... And I'm going to go out on the limb here. I was taught from young up, you read your Bible every day. And there's times that people say, no, I don't, I have heard this statement so much. I should read my Bible more. I should read my Bible more. And listen, I am not against reading the Word of God. I don't want you to get me wrong. But is the Spirit of God, is the Spirit of darkness condemning you because you're not just doing it quite right? That is not God. That is not God. Is the Spirit of darkness motivating you to read the Bible and condemning you in the process? And I want to encourage you. We can be free from this. We can be free from this condemnation. If you are in Christ Jesus, totally surrendered, and say, God, I will go anywhere you want me to go. I will release anything you want me to release. I will be whatever you want me to be and be totally surrendered. There is zero condemnation in that. There is freedom. There is peace. There is joy. And if you go into Galatians 5 and talks about the fruits of the Spirit, that there is a result of total surrender. Now, if you don't have total surrender, you might experience some of these things. But I'm telling you, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Zero. You don't have to worry about, am I doing everything just right? Just be surrendered and say, God, I will be whatever you want me to be. I will go wherever you want me to go. I will work on a job wherever you send me. I am surrendered to your glory. And I have discovered the Spirit of God to be very gentle, very kind. And in all the big changes in my life, this is what I've found. Now, I'm not going to put God in the box and say this is how he always works. But this is my testimony. All the big changes in my life, God prepared me for them. It's not like I was all of a sudden going through life and one night I got to quit my job and the next morning I am flying to China for the rest of my life. I don't find God to work that way. That hasn't been my experience. But for these big changes, he prepares you. He gets you ready for those changes, and that when you come, if you're surrendered, it's not a big deal. But I think the key is surrender. There's another thing I want to look at here. Now, there's a little bit of a side note here. In Matthew 11:30, says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I want to make a declaration here. And the declaration is this, because I have caught myself doing it. I said, living for God is sometimes hard. I want to call that false because of this verse. It says, this is Jesus speaking. Jesus is saying, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So why is it hard? It's when we don't surrender. And it's when we aren't willing to be obedient. It's when we're demanding our own way. If we're not giving up to what the Father wants of us. But if you live totally surrendered, totally willing to be anything God lays on your heart, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Do you understand what I'm saying? I want to get away from this thing of teaching the idea that living for God is hard. It's freedom. If you want to know what living hard is, live for the devil. That's hard. I have witnessed it. I have seen it. I have. You talk about being hard? My dad, when he was approximately 30 years old, he chose to follow God. Because of his choice, it has greatly impacted my life. And I witnessed men who chose, and women, who chose not to follow God. And I watch their life. I just watch it. And if you think living for God is hard, you don't know what hard is. Because this verse is easy, is correct, where it says, living for God, his yoke. Yoke means to be connected. I should have put a picture of a yoke up there. Can you put grab me a picture of a yoke? Yoke is something we don't do no more. But in the old times, and still some other countries, I believe they use this, is something, is a piece of wood over top of two cows, and they're tied together. And you are in that thing, and you cannot get out. Being connected to God in that way is easy. Now, if you're in that position and you buck and you fight it and you try to pull out of it, it gets hard. But if we can just learn to surrender and go and walk with the Father, it becomes easy. But that surrender, sometimes we have to fight. We have to buck. I'm going to give you, there we go. Put that back up again if you can. Just use that as a mental image for a minute. Jesus in one side and you in the other. Who's the bigger of the two? Jesus. Does it help to buck it and to squirm and to get out of it? Or is it much better if you just put your head down and go right where he's going? Which is better? Go with him. And this is the reason it's so good. It's because God is good. If you cannot get the concept that God is good, this might look a little bit hard. But if you understand that when you're going through something that's tough and you believe and understand and experience the goodness of God, you can surrender a whole lot easier. But if you look at God and say, he's not good, it's going to be hard to surrender. But I have discovered that God is good. I mean, he's really good. And I'm going to say this too. I personally do not like conflict. But I discovered something in conflict. And that is this. If you're going through conflict and you walk with the Father, out of that conflict comes beauty. Why did I say that? I was going to say, there's a reason I said that. I forget what it was. Anyway. Oh, yeah. I have found that when we go through conflict and that beauty rises, that's because God wants to take beauty. God is good, and he wants to turn your difficult situation into something that's good. And it happens. I have seen this happen every time. If I was willing to submit to God and say, God, I want to walk through this totally godly, totally upright, without malice, without slander, without pushing the other person down, without cursing at the other person, but I want to bring your presence into this situation. And to see it unfold in front of you is actually beautiful. In 1 Corinthians 4:10, and I'm sharing this verse here because I recognize that Satan can come as an angel of light. He can really mess us up. But I discovered there is something you can do so you don't get caught up in it. 1 Corinthians 4:10. For we are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. I'm going to give you a personal happening in my life. On April 22nd, 1998, was a pivot point in my life. Up to that point of my life, I had basically walked out of one thing, And that is what I felt the Spirit of God show me in my spirit. That's what I went with. And I made a bold statement. I made a bold step in life. And I changed course a little bit. And someone who I trusted came up to me and said, "How do you know that is the Spirit of God working in your life?" My foundation, boom, it shattered. I was like, how do I know? How do I know what is guiding me is God and not Satan? How do I know? What method do I use to discern what is directing my life? I was in there for like 2 months. It's like I couldn't pray because what I lived by was the Spirit of God speaking inside of me. And it's like all of a sudden that very foundation that I worked out of was shattered. I was in there for 2 months. And I'm not sure if it was this verse here or whether it was one of the verses right talking about it being a fool for Christ's sake. I made a vow over that time. And I said this, God, I am willing to go anywhere you send me. I'm willing to be anything you want me to be. I don't care what the cost is. And even if it becomes a fool for your name's sake, I'm willing to go there. And God, if you say who you are, if I'm listening to the wrong voice, you're going to stop me before I get caught up in it. I never repented of that vow. I still live it today. And I found it to work. I am not talking about a person who is not surrendered to be praying this. I'm talking about someone that if you're willing to be totally surrendered, totally sold out, I encourage you to pray that prayer. This is what I found. There was two times in my life I was going to go down the wrong path. And God stopped me before I did it. I distinctly remember both of them. Very clear. And as quick as that roadblock came up, I knew immediately that I had to stop. I have found that God is good. And he will not allow you to go astray if you're totally surrendered before him. It's not going to happen. God will not allow you. You do not have to fear. Like it said in 1 John, you know, what is speaking to me? Pursue God with all your heart. And don't allow fear of deception to keep you from being sold out. Because if you are totally surrendered before God, and you're sold out before God, he will not allow you to get deceived. I believe that. I live that. That's how I live my life. I believe that Satan cannot deceive a person for a long period of time that is totally surrendered before the Father. I don't believe it's going to happen. If we fear the Holy Spirit, I said repent of that. Because the Holy Spirit is the safest to be a part of. Do not fear the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not allow you to be deceived if you're surrendered. Now, if you're not surrendered, God cannot guide a rebellious heart. If you're rebellious, I don't have words for you. I don't know what to tell you more than repent and get out of it. If you are surrendered, you will not be deceived. If I'm not right, then my concept of God is totally screwed up. Did anyone here, and I want you to tell me, did anyone of here ever experience that you cannot trust the Holy Spirit? That the Holy Spirit was just, that God left you down and let you sit? Where you did not know where to go. That you were trusting him and he let you sit. And I know that happens. That we're going through life and it feels like God just simply dropped you. But I'm telling you, if we're surrendered, he will pick you up. Before I jump to the next one, does anyone have anything to add? Any conversation we can get going here? I'd love to. Any input? Yes. that God is walking right with you. That's right. I love your faith as a little girl, as a little woman. Keep that faith, and you'll be amazed where God will take you. Walking with the Father is an incredible journey. Anyone else? Any testimonies of, I'm going to go back to the one. Did you ever find yourself, did you ever catch yourself that Satan was talking to you and you didn't realize it? That he came as an angel of light. Dude, would you mind, can I have the mic? Okay. But you recognized it. Anymore, anyone else? Do you ever recognize that Satan coming as an angel of light? I just want everyone to be aware of that it's very prevalent and very easy to fall into. And he wants you to do what is right for the idea to be guiding your life so he can direct you off course. And I'm convinced it happens. I'm going to keep going here a little bit. There's another one I want to speak about is the Jezebel spirit. And I think this here is just characteristics. And a lot of it is taken from the Bible of how Jezebel and Ahab worked in the book of Kings. But there's another statement that comes out of Revelations where Jesus was talking to the churches. In Revelations 20:22, it says, "Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allowed that woman Jezebel, who called herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things offered sacrificed to idols." I believe this is one of the goals of the spirit of Jezebel, is for sexual immorality and also for idolatry. And what is idolatry? Idolatry is very simple. It's lifting up something higher than God. And that's actually pretty easy to do. You know, in the Bible, it often talks about idols, where they would have an idol, they would bow to it, they would sacrifice to it. Some would actually sacrifice their children to it. And we don't have that type of idols anymore. But I'm telling you, it is very easy to put things ahead of God. Very easy. And I don't know where to all go with this thing of the Jezebel spirit, because there's many different angles to go. But there's one thing that I have, yes. Every spirit kind of has characteristics. Like the spirit of religion, is it comes in as an angel of light and twists it. Jezebel, I feel, comes in. There's different angles it hits, but one of the things it hits the hardest, well, I say the hardest, is to mess up the headship order. Where is God? Where is Jesus? Where is man and woman? And he wants to take the very same ingredients and shove them up in a different angle. And it wants to destroy us. And it has a direction it takes us as far as exactly what a spirit is. To me, what a spirit is if you look at the fall, where there was angels in heaven, and it says a third of them were kicked out. And I believe they're active today and working in our lives to take us away from God. And some of us understand and connect more with the spirit world than others. Some of us witness it more than others. Some of us want to admit that it exists. Some of us don't want to admit that it don't exist. I have seen this stuff work out right in front of my eyes. What it wants to do, it wants to destroy that headship order. And it wants to take the two that it attacks us, it wants to reverse the role of a man and a woman. It wants to go God, Jesus, woman, man. Now, I'm going to be very clear. I believe that in value, man and woman is equal to God. I want to be very clear with that. As far as before the Almighty Father, we all have equal value. But I believe there's a difference in rule, and it attacks that rule. There's other things that I heard over the past, what it does. I'm not going to go into that because I don't have a whole lot of knowledge in it. But I believe it wants to destroy our lives. And it does it in really, really small areas. And it wants to take the rule of a man, and it makes to take the rule of a woman and switch it. That brings confusion in everyone's life. In my life growing up, that was not the case. My dad was not a hardliner, where he made us listen and say, either you listen or else. He was not that. I don't remember ever dad yelling at us. But both my dad and my mom, they knew their proper positions, and they walked in them. And I'm grateful for that. I don't feel that rule was reversed. And what Satan wants to do today is, I'm not sure where to all go in this subject because there's so many areas I could go to. But it wants to take and make man and woman equal in the area of rule. It breaks us down in the area of dress. It breaks us down in the area of functionality in a home. It breaks the area all over. Those are the two that I see happening. That it wants to, what's the word I want there? It wants to neutralize the genders and make them all the same. This thing that we're having about the, and we don't hear as much about other because of the administration change, but the previous administration was pushing the idea of gender neutrality. And I believe the bigger reason, it all comes back to this thing of breaking down this order that God has men and women to be in. Let's not get caught up in that. Let's search our lives. Like, for example, I'm going to pull a verse out of the Old Testament. And it says, a woman should not wear anything that pertains to a man, neither should man put on woman's clothing for a garment. For all who do so are abomination to God. God hates when we neutralize the two genders, when we make them the same in the area of clothing. And it's very easy to say that's the Old Testament. But I am very strong in the area that God's character does not change in the new and old. His character is the same. And he does not want us to confuse the two genders, even down to the level of dress. He wants a distinct difference between the two. And I believe because if we allow ourselves to break down the gender roles, it leads us to what we were facing just this last year, is genders don't matter in bathrooms. This idea of sexuality, it's the idea of gay and lesbian, where marriage between anybody, whoever you choose, don't matter. What it's doing is breaking down gender. God made woman, God made men. Even though I live alone, I know there's a difference. A woman does not think like a man, and that's okay. It is fine. God made us different. Would anyone disagree with me in that? God wants us separated. He wants us distinctly separated. He don't want us to break down the genders, down to the level of even clothing. And there's going to be, if we aren't aware of it, God's going to push, Satan is going to push this idea that there's going to be neutrality. It's all around us. It's going to happen. Are we going to be aware of that and say, I am not going to give in to that? I'm going to stand that God hates this and that I'm going to live that there's a distinct difference. And I'm not going to stand here and break down what is one or one is other in the area of clothing. In today's society, it is all over the place. I have my personal belief, but I'm not even going to talk about that. But I want to bring out the area that God wants a distinct difference. Are we all willing to go before God and say, I want you with all my heart? Are we willing to say in Psalms 139, 23, and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart, and totally surrender ourselves to him. Search me and know my heart. Try me and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. I tell you, I love that verse. There's so much freedom in that verse. There's so much peace in that verse just to surrender. God is going to take you to areas you didn't realize exist if we surrender. Or are we willing to? Is this something that you say, I don't know if I want to go to? You're only hurting yourself by saying, I don't want to go there. Surrender to God. Being broken before God. Being sold out before God. Is the greatest thing, I think, on earth. Just saying, God, I don't care what it costs me. I don't care how I look in a society. I want to be all sold out for you. Totally surrendered. And he will take you to areas that might be difficult to surrender. But that state of surrenderness is so sweet. I would just encourage every one of us to go there. Any more thoughts on this before I jump to the next one? Yes. It actually hurts to see people struggle with their gender and to realize, and I want to be very clearly understood, I speak no condemnation to someone that is struggling in their gender identity. I don't do that. I will weep with those. I will walk with those. It does not matter to me. People that are gay or lesbian does not bother me. I'm not scared of it. My heart actually goes out to that because I know the confusion that can be in that situation. And it's not cool. And the more I have found, the more I allow my life to be lined up with God, the more freedom there is. It's sweet. But we have to accept who we are. And if you can accept who you are, how God made you, and walk in that, there's freedom. There is so much freedom in that. Anyone else? Thank you for that, because that confusion in gender is very real. And, it's very real. Anyone else? Another enemy I see in the body of Christ is fear. And I'm not going to go to all the verses, but there's all over scriptures, and as I was reading this, all over scriptures was different verses where it says, fear not, fear not. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. Fear not. And I think it's important for us to get this concept. Do not fear. Are you scared of the future? I tell you, when you start praying into things and you see things unfold in front of your eyes, I see this all the time. It takes the fear out. If you allow God's perfect love to enter into you, like 1 John 4:18, for there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. Are you being tormented? Do you feel you're being tormented in your heart? If you feel that torment, I'm going to ask you a simple question. Are you experiencing fear? Fear torments. There is freedom from that. I'm going to make a simple illustration. And I'm going to allow you to answer, Dave, because I'm going to use you for a moment. How would you feel if your children would be, you would give them a big plate of food, but they don't want to eat of it because they're scared they might not have enough for tomorrow? You have a job. You have food in the refrigerator. You have it in the freezer. But they're scared they're not going to have enough, so they're going to just eat a little bit of it and put the rest in the refrigerator to eat for that evening. And you go, son, you don't need to fear. We got enough. How would that make you fear if he did, man, that I'm scared, we're not going to have enough? And he would just defy you. What did, would that do to you? Trust. Trust. If we don't believe God is good, it's easy to fall into fear. God is good. He cares about what you're going through. If there's pain in your life, learn how to release that. You can be, I'm gonna preach total freedom. Because I live it, I experience it, and it is real. You do not have to live under bondage. You can be totally free. In 2017, freedom is available for us. And if we're under fear, we're not living in freedom. If we're laying in our house and we're scared the sky's going to fall down that night, you are not living in freedom. If you're scared that someone's going to bust in the door and shoot you, you're not living in freedom. If you're scared you're going to lose your job, you're not living in freedom. Release it. Release it. Give it to God and realize God is good. He cares about you. He cares if you're, if, verse that just came to my mind. He sees the sparrows when they fall. I don't know how many of you have ever shot a sparrow. But you see when it happens. It's like, boing, plop, one dead. Go and shoot the next one. God cares. God saw that. I'm not sure what went through his mind, but he took notice of that. And if God cared about that sparrow falling down, he cares when we're struggling. He cares if you lost a job. He cares if you got in an accident. I'm going to make it personal in my life. My sister-in-law passed away of cancer. That was a number of years. He cares. He weeps with us when we weep. He cares what you're going through. But if we don't believe that God cares, if we don't believe that God is good, fear rises up and we're scared about everything in life. We're scared about our job. We're scared if we're going to get in an accident. We're scared about our children. We're scared about the economy. We're scared about the government. We're scared about all around me. I'm telling you, we don't have to live in fear. Fear has torment. I believe this is one of the enemies in the church of God, that you can be a Christian, walking with God and have fear in your life. It's possible. And I'm telling you, it is possible to get out of it. You do not have to live in freedom. Anything else anyone has on fear? Any thoughts, any comments? If you fear of getting deceived, you don't grow. Or if you're going to grow really slow. I said it before, I'm going to say it publicly. Matt, you have a little son. Let's put 5-10 years on his life. And he looks at your eyes and say, Daddy, how do I do this? Totally willing to do whatever you guide him. And you intentionally, and then he gives a suggestion what he would do. And you know if he goes down that direction, it's going to totally ruin his life. And you sit back and laugh at him and say, go ahead, son. Would you do that? Why not? It's stupid. But not for destruction. That's different than destruction. And I'm saying this thing of deception, being scared of being deceived, is so real. God leads us and we go, no, I might get deceived. Listen, God is good. He will not allow you to be deceived if you're surrendered. If you're surrendered before the Father, you will not be deceived. I won't say you won't make a mistake. But God, for some reason, does not care about mistakes. He's okay with mistakes. But he will not allow you to walk down the wrong road and end up when you're on your deathbed and realize, I totally screwed up my life. If you live a surrendered life, I do not believe it's going to happen. Why? Because God is good. We, in Luke 11, it says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give the good gifts to your children, how much more shall you give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? But the verse I want to bring out is, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Sorry, Matt, but God calls you evil in that verse. What he meant by that is we have sinful natures, and we don't always do really good. But if we, in our sinful nature, have no desire to allow our sons and our daughters go astray when they're totally surrendered to us, how much more he that is good won't allow us to get screwed up if we are surrendered? So if the Spirit of God sense something and you have a clear direction to go in a certain direction, go. Do not, you might, it might not be known to you what the future looks, but if God is directing you and you have a clearance around you, I believe other people can help you make that decision at times. I'm not going to drill down real deep on that, but I'm telling you, this thing of fear, deception cripples you. Because what if I'm being deceived? How do I know that? Surrender before the Father. And what I want to bring out of this more than anything else is surrender. Surrender before the Father. Your life is in good hands. If you have a hard time trusting the Father for whatever reason, go to that. Go to that pain. Give that pain to the Father. And learn to trust Him. He's really good. I mean, really good. I've seen him work all kinds of stuff in people's lives if we're willing to do one thing, and that is live a surrendered life. I can testify, I don't live a perfect life, but I can say one thing, I live a surrendered life, and I love it. And there's one thing that, I think this is another vow. This is the vow I made. I don't know what it was. But I do not want to live on my, I don't want to be on my deathbed and have regrets and wish I would have done X, Y, Z. When I'm on my deathbed, I want to say, I have done and I'm ready to go. And I'm free. Because I've been what I know God wanted me to be. And what I found to live a life with no regrets is this here, total surrender. Total surrender is no regrets. You want to live with life with no regrets? Live totally surrendered. I don't know where God's going to lead you. I don't know how he's going to direct you. But when life is over and you live a surrendered life, you'll have peace.